to Hayward. He'll step back three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on Drive 10 Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. It is the final day of the NBA regular season. I mean, it is a grind. It's almost similar to baseball. I think maybe even a little more so here in the state of Utah because the games are spread out so far. But it's been a happy season for Utah Jazz fans. They got to 50 wins. That was my prediction at the beginning of the year. I thought they could get to 50. They have a chance to get to 51 tonight. If they want home court in the opening round, they have to get to 51, and they have to hope for a Clipper loss. We're going to talk about that and more of the storylines, a lot more in the East than in the West as we get into the final day of the regular season. A good friend of mine, Jameson Welsh, joining us over the phone right now from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, last day of the season. It's almost like a relief. We're getting set for playoff basketball.
Yes, no more tanking talk. We're not there all tanking or, you know, this team's doing this, this team's doing that. You know, we don't have to hear about that. I'm tired of tanking. That's all we heard about the last month of the season. That's unfortunate. We've had way too many good storylines in the league this year to downplay them to talk about tanking. So I'm glad the regular season's over. Playoffs start on Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning out here on the West Coast. So great time. I just can't wait, to be honest with you. I really can't.
Yeah, I'm tired of the resting talk. I'm tired of the tanking talk. I'm right there with you. Now every game actually counts. If you're a Utah Jazz fan, I think tonight is a very important evening. Now, right here at 7 o'clock on KOAL, David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. The Jazz will take on the San Antonio Spurs. A very winnable game, knowing what we know San Antonio and Golden State have done later on in the season. But the big story, I guess, on the flip side of that is the Clippers have to lose, and they get Sacramento, and there's a little history there. Jameson, I can't stress enough how important home court is going to be in this series with the Clippers. These are two very even squads. I mean, if you look at the wins and losses, they equal each other all the way down. They have the same conference record. They have the same road record, the same home record. The big difference is the Clippers score a lot of points. The Jazz don't. Home court's going to be huge in this series. In fact, I'll favor the team that has home court. That's how important I think tonight is for the Jazz.
Especially when you have a team like the Jazz that are pretty new to this playoff situation. You know, it's not like they have a few veterans on the team, but as a team, they're new to the playoffs. So, of course, they play a lot better at home than they do on the road. Just in general, that's how young teams do it. So, yes, if they're able to get home court, it would be huge for them. With that being said, I don't think it's going to happen. They will be opening up their series probably Saturday night in Los Angeles. That's probably what's going to happen. And they have a good shot of getting one game on the road. They really do. They're that good of a defensive team. They can give the Clippers some issues. But I think the inexperience will eventually cost them in a series with a team like Clippers, who have been to the playoffs, you know, for the last 5 years now, and they've had their ups and downs. But I think we have a hell of a series on the way, and I think that the Jazz can win it. I think they have a very good shot at doing it, but again, inexperience and going up against two all-stars, really three all-stars when you think about it, might be too much of a task for this young team. But you never know. Crazy things have happened. The playoffs are a win. Guys, you know, play their best, and you know, guys come out of nowhere. It could be the case for Rudy Gobert to take that next step that we all thought he had in him. You know, there's a lot of things can happen, but I think this might be the best first round series in the whole league. I think this is probably gonna be the best one. Like you mentioned, they're so evenly matched.
Yeah, and it's hard to judge going down the stretch how teams are playing with squads resting teams. But I'll tell you, Jameson, from the basketball that I've watched over the last two and a half weeks. Give me the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Clippers. I think those are the three teams that are playing the best basketball right now in the Western Conference. And like I said, it's hard to judge because you have so many teams going through the motions, not playing certain players. But really, I mean, the Clippers have played great basketball over the last 10, 12 games, and the Jazz have as well. And Golden State seems like they're poised for a playoff run again. So, I mean, really, it's a very interesting series.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those series that you can make an argument for either way, and you're not going to be looked at as saying anything crazy. I mean, I think that, you know, both teams have similar strengths and similar weaknesses, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of things going on. Now, the thing with the Clippers is this. Can they stay focused enough to finish the deal. Utah is a great defensive team. They really make things difficult for you. The Clippers, they may get up in a series, but do they have enough killer instinct to close out a team they should beat? Like, that's going to be the thing, because if it goes seven games, anything's possible. If it's, no matter if it's in LA or if it's in Utah, if it goes seven, all bets are off, because you can have a guy like Joe Johnson go off for 20 points and, you know, and win a series. So there's a lot of things that can happen. I think it's going to be a very fun series. I'm also interested to see how Quinn Snyder is in his first playoff series. You know, that's what I'm looking at. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how he adjusts and the adjustments he makes and the moves he makes, because that's going to be something that no one's really talking about, is the coaching matchup. Quinn Snyder is one of the, I mean, you can make an argument that he's in the top five coach of the year in the league right now, and that's huge, and really didn't expect that going in.
Outside of the Jazz and Clippers, and I know sometimes the first round can be a little boring. We get some matchups that aren't necessarily intriguing, but outside of the Clippers and Jazz, we got the Rockets and the Thunder, and that's going to be a brilliant series as well. So the Western Conference, right off the bat, is going to be very entertaining between these two series.
That, and also, I mean, I think that series is going to be quick, but it's going to be entertaining. The series that no one's talking about that could be some drama is that 2-7 matchup, because the Grizzlies play the Spurs very difficult.
Yes.
That's a tough matchup for the Spurs. That's not an easy 4-1 series. That might go 7. Like, and the Grizzlies, they have the playoff chops to beat the Spurs. Like, this is not an easy matchup for the Spurs at all. I expect the Spurs to get by, but their backcourt is very weak. Tony Parker has not looked good at all lately. I'm not a big fan of Danny Green that much. I think the Grizzlies have more advantages than people think about, and it would not surprise me if the Grizzlies upset the Spurs in this situation. I still have the Spurs winning in 7, but it would not surprise me to see the Grizzlies, if they were to pull it off, it would not surprise me at all.
You talked about this on the show yesterday. These two also have a history in the playoffs. I mean, let's not forget, Memphis did knock off San Antonio when they were a high seed about, what, 6 years ago. So I agree with you 100% on this series. Again, our guest right now is Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. While the West is pretty much settled, the only movement that we could experience tonight, and I don't think we get any movement, would be the Jazz and the Clippers swapping the 4-5. So we know what the first-round matchups are going to be: Golden State, Portland, San Antonio, Memphis, Houston, OKC, the Clippers, and the Jazz. That's not the case in the Eastern Conference. Now, we're set 1-6. We know who that's going to be. We know that we're not set 1-6. The Cavs and the Celtics could change. But again, we have our first 6 seeds locked down in the Eastern Conference. 3 seed goes to the Raptors, 4 to the Wizards, 5 to the Hawks, 6 to the Bucks. 7 and 8, we could have a lot of drama tonight. Now, the Pacers could finish 7th, they could finish 8th, or they could be knocked out of the playoffs entirely. If they lose tonight, things really go crazy, because the Heat and the Bulls both hold tiebreakers. They both win 3-way ties. So there's a lot of scenarios. If the Pacers win and the Bulls win and the Heat win, we get the Pacers-Bulls, Heat out. If Pacers win, Bulls win, Heat lose, again, Pacers-Bulls. If the Pacers win and the Bulls lose and the Heat lose, the Bulls are in. The Heat need to get a win, and they need to hope that either the Pacers or the Bulls get a loss tonight. So, Jamison, there's some interesting scenarios playing out in this one.
Man, a lot of drama. A whole lot of drama. And I will say this. The only team out of that mixture that's capable of winning a series is the Miami Heat, because they actually play hard, and they actually like each other as a team. The Bulls, they're ready to go on vacation. Like, you can tell, even though they play better as of late, they're not trying to play another week or two of the season. They're trying to go home, go on vacation. They got the cars towed to their offseason destinations. The Pacers are the same way. They have an upset star player that is used to winning. I mean, Paul George and the Pacers were a game or two away from the finals for a few years back, and now they're barely scraping by for the playoffs. He's looking to go elsewhere also, and he's upset the whole situation. They're really not a threat to do anything. Now, the Heat are a weird team. They have a lot of interesting players, a lot of guys that are mismatched guys that have bounced around the league and have done some interesting things this season. With that being said, I don't think they would win a series, but I think they could extend the series longer than the other two could. I think they could take either the Cavs or the Celtics at least a good 6 hard-fought games. I could see that. It would not surprise me. But the other two teams, I think, are done. I think the Bulls, I think they're just done. I think they, even though they've played a lot better over the last couple of weeks, I don't see them doing anything special.
And I have no idea what direction this could go tonight, because the Bulls get Brooklyn, at home, no less. You would expect a win there for Chicago. But there's really no incentive for Brooklyn to tank at this point. They are where they are. The Bulls have to have this win. The Nets have nothing to lose tonight in this contest. Miami gets Washington. Washington is already set. Indiana gets Atlanta. Atlanta is already set. I really don't know what direction this goes. In fact, I could probably see a scenario, the most logical scenario, is that all three teams get a win. And if that's the case, Miami's left out.
Right, exactly. That's how it should happen. But a lot of crazy things happen around this time. I mean, this is a crazy, crazy situation. You know, when it comes to the end of the season, a lot of crazy things happen. Remember, there's always players out there that are playing for their next contract. So even though Atlanta might be resting guys or Washington's resting guys, you might get a situation with Washington where they might mess around and have Jennings and Oubre go off tonight. You know what I mean? You just never know. You never, never know. There's a lot of guys that are playing for something. There's always scouts and there's always general managers and team personnel watching. They're watching every game. No one's never not watching. So you just never know. It's weird things happen at the end of the season. It would not surprise me if one or two of those teams lost. It would not because the nature of the beast in the NBA is this. You got a lot of guys fighting to stay in America. There's 450 spots. 360 of them are actually playing spots. Now I'm talking about the other 90 that are on the bench in sports coats. You got 360 spots that are playing. People are fighting for those. So there's no days off in this NBA.
Absolutely. Jameson, the season comes to an end tonight. Your assessment of it?
A lot of storylines. The season itself was but a lot of good storylines. Because of triple-doubles, you know, Harden playing great, LeBron and Kawhi Leonard having awesome seasons, guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo coming on his own. Giannis had one of the best seasons of almost anyone in a long time. He's picked wrong here to do it. You know, that's the thing. He leads his team in every category, which is crazy if you think about it. That has never happened. Or I think it's happened maybe once over the last 20 years or something like that. But he's the first guy to do that and also be in the top 20 of, like, all the major categories. So that's something very special that's not getting noticed. But he'll have his time. But a lot of storylines, but not a whole lot of good action in the season. Too much tanking. Too much talking about resting players. Too many bad teams tanking and resting guys that are 20 years old. If you're 20 years old, you don't need to be resting. You don't need. I mean, I love Devin Booker. I want to see him play. I don't need to see him resting.
Right.
There's no need with that. Same thing with Lakers when they were resting, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Ingram and all that. They don't need to be taking, like, they don't need to be resting. Like, and the NBA, they do need to do something with a lot. They need to tweak it to the point where, like you said earlier off the phone, is like maybe top five teams or something like that. They need to change the lottery one way or another. There has to be an incentive to win. There needs to be an incentive to put together a good quality basketball team year in and year out. And, you know, because right now, taking this away, I mean, the Sixers are going to get at least another top five pick, and they might even get two top five picks. You know, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting down the stretch.
Jameson, it's always fun to get you on the show. Thank you again for taking out the time. Enjoy the final night of the regular season, and we'll talk again next week when the playoffs get off and rolling.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to talk Major League Baseball. We'll bring in Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk National League Bowl when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.